Well, praise the Lord. We've been in a series just talking about sharing Jesus without fear. And the Lord has helped us. This is our sixth message on this series, and we'll go as long as the Lord leads us in that way. Tonight, we're going to talk about the power of questions when it comes to sharing the gospel. Now, the last few messages have been on the power of prayer. And the difference that makes and how vitally important it is to always emphasize prayer when it comes to sharing the gospel. And so we know that that is something that we must do. But then I want to share some thoughts tonight about the importance and power of questions. You know, questions have a tendency to help teach some things and help reveal some things. Sometimes not exactly the way we were intending, but they do indeed help. I think about this one man. This is a funny story that I found, and the name of this story is, "Do you know who I am?" That is the question. Do you know who I am? At a tea for officers and their wives, the commanding general of a base delivered a seemingly endless oration. A young lieutenant grumbled to the woman sitting beside him, "What a pompous and unbearable old windbag this slob is," this lieutenant said. The woman turned to him, her face red with rage. "Excuse me, lieutenant, do you have any idea of who I am?" She said, "I am." He said, "No, ma'am." And the man fumbled. And she said, "I am the wife of the man you just called an unbearable old windbag." "Oh," said the lieutenant, as you can imagine. "And do you have any idea who I am?" "No," said the general's wife. "Good," said the lieutenant, getting up from his seat and disappearing into the crowd. He was gone. So, yes, he did ask a question, and it did help him get out of Dodge there. But we see the advantage of questions. And I want to tell you something. When it comes to sharing Jesus Christ, it is very important for us to present the gospel many times asking simple questions. You know, a lot of times you find it less confrontational than just, "You should do this," or, "You didn't know this," or something of that nature, and just simply presenting things in a question form. People seem to respond better to those. They seem to be less offended when we present in questions. And it's interesting how many questions we see in the Word of God that actually come from God Himself. You know, just as for illustration and just to emphasize the point here, when it comes to using questions, I want us to look at in the book of Acts quickly, and then we'll be going to another passage. But go over to the book of Acts, and we're going to see an example of asking a question during a witnessing opportunity. Acts chapter 8, if you would. Acts chapter 8. And then I'll read Verse 30 and 31. Did everybody get a handout for tonight's lesson? If you didn't, I can get you one real quick. We got them right here. Okay. All right. Acts chapter 8, and I'll read there in verse number 30. And Philip, you know the situation here, the Ethiopian eunuch coming from a time of worship as a religious man, and God has sent Philip to witness to him. And this is, I'm just for sake of time, we're sharing the specific verses here. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, we know Philip's going to go on and expound the Lord Jesus to him. And I understand, folks, we're not always going to walk up on people that have their Bibles open searching for Jesus. I understand that. But I believe there's a point we need to take home here. God will lead us in situations in this life where we will be able to present questions to people in a way that may spark an interest. They may not have an open Bible like this man did, but there may be something going on in their life. It could be a difficulty. It could be a tragedy. It could be just something that they're trying to figure out, an emptiness. It could be a curiosity. Whatever the case may be, and I believe God's people need to be ready to ask some questions to help bring out perhaps a thought of the gospel that they would listen to. And so as God gives you opportunity, as I have written here, to share the gospel, it is very important that you always strive for politeness and respect. One of the ways that you can do this is to ask questions to see if there's any interest in listening to the gospel. I don't have time to go into it, but you know, as God's people, I think it's something very important to realize. God wants us to be looking for people of peace. Jesus talked about that with the disciples. People that are actually at a stage in life, they're at a season where they are searching. Now, they may be at different stages, but as we go out, we may find that somebody's not very interested, but maybe 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 20. Who knows? The fact of the matter is, we are to always be looking for people of peace who are interested in the gospel and who are searching for the truth. And then God will lead us to them. And then it's good to ask questions to maybe see where they're at. We see here, number one, God uses questions. God Himself uses questions often throughout Scripture for the purpose of revealing what is in the heart of the individual. That first blank there is revealing. Questions reveal things. Now, go over with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, if you would. That will be the passage for letter A. You can fill in that blank there. The passage is Genesis chapter 3, 8 through 11. Genesis chapter 3, 8 through 11. Of course, you know this is where Satan tempts Adam and Eve in the garden. And they disobey the Lord, and they eat of the fruit. That was the forbidden fruit. And it's most interesting, folks, that this is the first time we see in Scripture God asking a question. And He is going to ask this question. The first question that He asks in the Word of God is going to be to reveal something in Adam and Eve's heart. Specifically, Adam, we see here, let's read together in verse number 8, I'll read here. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord." This is after they have sinned and realized that they were naked before the Lord. It says here, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." And get this. And verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, it's interesting. Again, you need to mark that that is indeed the first question that God asked humanity, Adam himself in here. And it is in the form of bringing to his mind something that was missing. You know what was missing? God was missing. God was missing the fellowship that Adam had experienced with the God of heaven, the Eternal One. That fellowship was now gone. It was divided. There was separation. There was death. And there was an emptiness there. There was a void, if you will. And God already knew where they were physically. And I believe, quite frankly, that God is speaking more in the area of where are you spiritually? Because you know what? He was separated from God. And Adam, if he was honest, and you know what every human being will say if they're honest, where are you spiritually? I am in sin. And so I think it's important, even taking a lesson from our God, the Creator, when He addresses Adam and when it was to, and by the way, this was the beginning stages of winning Adam back to himself. He had to first approach Adam and get Adam to realize and to know what had just happened and what was going on and that he was separated from God. Where art thou? And then he goes on to say in verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because of his sin. Because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, of course, God knew the answer to that question, but I believe that the reason he was is for the information of Adam. And folks, this is the truth here. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we need to understand the power of asking questions. Asking them questions, and we'll talk about the different types of questions that there are. But God used them, and we're going to see that Jesus used them as well. Go over to the book of Matthew with me. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. Now, there are so many different, opinions, I would say, or let me just say different. There's so many different research. There's so much different information out there that's been given on what I'm about to say that the very fact that how many questions did Jesus ask in the New Testament? Some have said that he is asked over 300. Some have said there's just over like 130 something. I guess it's all how you look at certain questions and how you count them. But the fact of the matter is, no one can argue this fact. Jesus asked a lot of questions in the New Testament. Now, I didn't take time to go through and count every one of them. I might one day. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I can agree that there are over 100. There are over 100 times where Jesus asked a question in some way, and he always did it to help bring to someone's attention truth. Truth. And that is the soul winner's greatest mission. I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts to my head tonight. Forgive me for that. But it was one of Jesus' greatest mission to get people to truth. And that is our objective as well. It is to help people get the truth. Now, I can't make them believe it, but I can get it to them. I don't know who said it, but everybody ought to have a chance to reject the gospel. Everybody. Everybody ought to have at least one opportunity to reject the gospel. We don't want them rejecting it, but we should be able to get people the truth. Because we know the truth will set them free. That is indeed who Jesus is. He is the truth. So we see here that Jesus presented questions. And I want us to look specifically tonight at Matthew chapter 11. Verses 15 and 16. Matthew chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. Look there with me. He says here, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. You know what? That's not the one I'm looking for. Try Matthew 16. Let's go over there. I may have written down that reference wrong. Yes. Look there at verse number 13. Chapter 16. Verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we know that is the correct answer. But I believe that Jesus is giving us an example there. When it comes to sharing the gospel that you'll see in some of the sample questions, I believe a perfectly appropriate question And it's not offensive, but it's simply this. Who do you believe Jesus, the Son of God, to be? Who do you believe Jesus is? And you can ask that in various forms, but it will help reveal what they believe about truth. And it's not condemning to them. You're just simply posing a question. Who do you believe Jesus is? Or who is Jesus Christ to you? Well, that is an example of asking a question that will reveal truly their heart. And when you can get probably various responses to that. Well, he was a good man. Well, he's in the Bible. You know, you can get various answers. But we, as people of God, we're looking for people that understand the gospel and the truth and who Jesus is. And it comes in question forms. And again, you can go through and see many examples of him asking questions. Look with me. That second one was Matthew 16. That second blank for letter B was Matthew chapter 16. You could just put verses 12 through 16. And then this next example of Jesus asking a question is over in the book of John. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You may be familiar with the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. John chapter 3. And this is Jesus witnessing to a religious man. All right, he's sharing the gospel with him. He's trying to win him to the truth, to himself. And a man that was searching and asking questions. And look at verse 10. Now, this is a question that's, quite frankly, a little bit more confrontational. But nevertheless, it is a question. Look at verse number 10. I'll look at verse 9 first. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Talking about being born again. And look what Jesus said. He asked him a question. Jesus answered with a question. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Is it not interesting? Jesus has turned it around and has answered with a question. And be honest with you, this is kind of like, you know, talking to someone about the gospel, and then you ask them something about salvation, and they don't know. They don't know that, hey, didn't you say, well, do you believe the Bible? Yes, I do. What do you believe the Bible teaches about how to get to heaven? And they say, well, you know, you just do good things. Well, you get baptized. And then, without being rude, you can pose that question. Do you not know that the Bible teaches that works? We can't get to heaven by works? Do you know? I mean, you can do it politely and respectfully, but that's what I believe Jesus was saying. Here you are, a great professor, if you will, a great teacher of the law, and do you not know this? And so Jesus deals with him with a question, and I too believe, and I'm convinced, when it comes to the sharing Jesus without fear, I believe a great tool and instrument that our Savior used hundreds of times in His life, and God Himself used in the first time of winning someone back to Himself, was asking questions. Let's look at some of these questions. Flip your handout over there. Now, of course, these are not exhaustive. You know that. I want you to write down many more. I want for you to, on your own, write down some questions that you feel comfortable asking. But the fact of the matter is, here are just some few examples. Let's look at them. Number one here, do you have any spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus Christ? Do you believe in heaven or hell? If you died today, where would you go? And what you are believing, if what you are believing is not true, would you want to know? Has anyone ever showed you, that's supposed to be a you there, has anybody ever showed you what the Bible says about how to go to heaven? Do you have a church home? A lot of times that can open up a question to reveal some things. Do you believe a person can be 100% sure that they are going to heaven? Can I take a minute of your time to share how God changed my life? Did you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know how He showed that love? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? So these are just a few questions. Would someone like to maybe offer another question that perhaps you've used or something that's come to mind even in this study? Again, this is a question just that you could present to help them understand the truth of the gospel. Anybody would like to try on that? Just a question that you could possibly present in some way. Anybody will give you a shot? You feel like this covered it right here? What's a question that we could ask? Come on. There's one. Do you know Jesus Christ? And that's a good one because, you know, a lot of times when you ask somebody that, the way we use it in our vernacular today is like, what do you mean, do I know Him? So that could open up a good question. What do you mean, do I know Him? Well, the Bible says that we can know Him and we can know that we have eternal life. So that's a good example. So anybody else have maybe a question that you could present to open up the conversation for the gospel? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Are you currently attending a church? And the question may be, no, I'm not. Or it may be, yes, I go to such and such. And then you know what? You could ask another question. Again, you're digging a little deeper, but questions, they're less offensive. Oh, what does your church teach about salvation? You know, that right there is you're not accusing them. You're not trying to put pressure on them. You're just simply asking a question. And a lot of times that will reveal immediately that they don't really know. And then that's when you can, as God leads you to ask questions, that's when you can politely ask another question. Well, would you mind, again, question form, would you mind if I showed you from my Bible what it means to know Jesus? Again, it's a question. If they decline, perfectly fine. You respectfully recognize their decline and you move on. But you see how questions, anybody else can think of any questions that just come to mind? Yeah, Brother Mark? Good. Well, see, but it still opens up the conversation. That's the point. Are you a Christian? And they say, well, oh, yes. And then you could say, well, what do you believe as a Christian gets you to heaven? You see? You know, you're a Christian. You say, well, and then they give some kind of offer. And then you could say, well, did you know that the Bible actually teaches that works or whatever they say, you know, baptism, that can't be. So again, what is the purpose here? The purpose is to try to introduce truth. You're wanting to reveal the void that's possibly in that person's heart. Just like with Adam, God, where art thou? And when we are witnessing, can I just say this? We're basically being a voice for God, a channel, because even the Bible says John the Baptist was what? That's what we are. We're voices of God. We speak His truth. It's His truth. And do you know, when we witness to people, you are in essence conveying a message for the Lord God, where art thou? Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? And you're not going to say that right off, but eventually you can get to that. But God wants us to get out there and present questions and to be polite about it. Anybody else can think of, these are good. These are excellent. I love these. I hope we can write these down. Can anybody think of some other questions that perhaps you could present? Brother Bill? Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of goes along with spiritual beliefs. You know, do you believe in God? Oh, really? And I love what this brother who wrote this book, about sharing Jesus without fear, I like what he recommends people do. He says this is what he does. When he talks to somebody, he doesn't ever respond immediately after they answer his question. You know what his first response is? Even if it's off the wall, like I believe in witches, or I believe that Satan is going to save me. I know that's extreme, but he even used that. He said, if somebody says that, first thing he says is, Because they don't really know what his means. You're crazy. But he didn't say that. You know, he just says, What is it again? It's respect. You know, they could go in and talk about their Hindu background. They could talk about their Muslim background. And without you condemning them and coming across, What does your religion teach about being saved, to be saved forever? Again, you're asking a question. And then as you talk, you get the opportunity to eventually say, when you realize they don't know the truth, when you come to that conclusion, that's when you politely say, ma'am or friend, would you mind if I just took a minute to show you from the Bible? And I tell you, sometimes people won't want to hear what the Bible has to say, but they will say yes to this one. Would you mind if I took a minute to tell you how God changed my life? They will listen to that. Okay, sure. And then you just give them your testimony of how you got saved, even if you got saved when you were 4 years old. You say, well, God allowed me to be in a Christian home, and I remember I got under conviction. I came to know Christ. Whatever your testimony is, and then you insert the Word of God. I realize that the Bible says that I'm a sinner, but the Bible also says that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. And so you see, those are some things. I'll tell you another one, something to talk about. A lot of people are interested in end times. And even if they're not Christian, they could be from all kinds of spectrums. But you know, a question you could say, what do you think about all this trouble in the world? Well, you're talking about some conversations being opened. What do you think about all this? You know, and that will lead to that and say, you know, have you ever read in the Bible what the Bible says about how everything's going to end? And they may say no. You say, you know, I have actually, and it is a blessing. Do you mind if I share with you just a minute? So you see that the point of and the power of questions. And what I encourage you to do is to write more of them down and practice these with folks that you know. And just see what God does. And when you ask these questions, because it is to reveal whether or not they know Jesus, whether they know the truth.